And this is The Morning Ride. We're taking conservatives to work and liberal progressive Democrats to task for their dysfunctional politics so we can make Washington livable again. Let me welcome to the show Gordon Gray, Executive Director at the Pinpoint Policy Institute. And he has written most recently about all the claims that Democrats and people on the progressive political left say they'll be able to fix if they can just tax the rich, tax the wealthy, or increase taxes on the rich. Gordon, thank you for jumping on with me to talk about these things here on The Morning Ride.
Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah. Look forward to talking taxes.
Yeah, now, you're on the East Coast in the greater D.C. area. That's where you're at?
I am.
Okay.
I'm guessing
you haven't heard much about the political landscape out here in the state of Washington. But this is the battle cry Democrats out here in the state of Washington have been using. And we'll get into the microeconomics of this in a little bit. But let's start with some of the macroeconomics, the bigger picture stuff,
sure.
Because this is what the Democrats nationally and in a lot of more localized jurisdictions like the city of Seattle, King County, state of Washington are pushing. But you've kind of analyzed some of these claims about, federally, nationally. If we just tax the rich, Democrats seem to claim that they'll be able to do all kinds of things to fix stuff. But what have you found based on some of these demands to raise taxes on the rich?
Well, always and forever, if you talk to a progressive, when it comes to public finance, so the federal budget, the reliable answer, the panacea, is to always tax those millionaires and billionaires. The problem is, particularly when you consider the scope and scale of America's budget challenge, is that the numbers just don't add up. There simply aren't enough rich people earning enough to tax them enough to close our budget deficit. And then when you consider, let's face it, a lot of the progressives that are always talking about raising taxes on the rich, it's not like they don't have ideas of their own on how to spend all that new money. So much of that discussion about taxing the rich is about how to pay for new stuff, like Medicare for All, for example. Bernie Sanders put out a, quote, plan that included a raft of tax increases, changes in capital gains, a wealth tax, et cetera, to pretend to pay for his Medicare for All policy, and it still fell trillions short.
Trillions.
When you do the math,
okay.
Oh, yeah. When you do the math, a lot of the common proposals to raise taxes on the wealthy can really only add about 1 to 2% in terms of GDP and new revenue. Now, when you consider we're running deficits that are on the order of 6 to 9% of GDP, it just doesn't add up. Fundamentally, when you look at our budget challenge, we fundamentally have a spending problem. As a share GDP, tax revenue is going to go up, but it's spending that's skyrocketing.
And a big component of what you're kind of talking about as it relates to some of these more specific percentages comes back to how much American taxpayers are going to be forced to pay on carrying all this debt that we've accumulated, because that's
exactly.
A big budgetary factor. And even taxing the rich, taxing the wealthy, the obligations that we've got for paying this debt, those are really outstripping everything else that's coming into the state or to the federal treasury.
Absolutely. Just fundamentally, even if we were to try to solve our budget challenge through taxation, we would always fall short, because the reality is the cost of our major spending programs, so that's retirement, that's health, and now interest on the debt, are rising faster than tax revenues ever could. Tax revenues are fundamentally a feature of economic growth, right? Like basically as people make more money year after year, then the amount of money that they can send back to the IRS goes up. The problem is economic growth, and we would love to pursue policies that grow the economy ever faster, but it's unrealistic to assume that the economy is going to grow at anything like the 6-7% that Social Security and Medicare and the interest are growing at. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah, there tend to be these surges and then fallbacks economically, or the boom and bust cycle, depending on how you want to define it. We're talking with the executive director of the Pinpoint Policy Institute, Gordon Gray. And I had recently come across a column that he had written about taxing the rich, which is a great political slogan, but it it's the bigger problem is that Democrats that demand taxing the rich, they can't deliver what they promise when they say that they'll increase taxes on the rich. Now, we seem to have a few examples of these tax rates in states like California and New York, where the taxes on the rich have either continued to stay high or maybe even have been increased. But that's prompted people to move out of those states. So what do you extrapolate from that when it comes to this Democrats' mantra of we got to tax the rich to solve all our problems?
Well, you know, fundamentally, I think a lot of the in the last couple of years, we've seen a proliferation across a number of progressive states to not just raise taxes in the traditional way, but trying to design new kinds of taxes, or at least new for the United States, you know, some form of wealth tax and sort of more novel and complex tax regimes. The problem is, and we've already seen this, is that these taxes are poorly designed. A lot of European and other foreign countries tried wealth taxes, and they were an abysmal failure. They cost a lot more to administer. They raised a lot less revenue than they were purported to, and they introduced a lot of unintended consequences. When you do a wealth tax, you have to figure out how much people are worth. And for a lot of people who are wealthy on paper, a lot of that wealth is tied up in a business.
Okay.
And what you can end up doing is forcing people to liquidate parts of their business to pay the tax roll. That is not an efficient tax. And these are the challenges that a lot of countries face when they tried these, and they abandoned them.
And that kind of brings us back to the example that I used to set this up, where we're hearing about people that are leaving California or New York. They're going to more tax realistic, you can call them tax friendly, but it's more tax realistic states like, say, Florida and Texas are usually the two of the first examples. There are a couple others in there as well, but those are kind of the two of the main ones. So now we're kind of working from the macro to the microeconomics.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned about kind of talking to you about getting set for this interview, things that are going on here in the state of Washington. And we've got the Washington legislature has majority Democrats in the House and the Senate. We've got a Democratic governor in the governor's office. And they're talking about these taxes that are sometimes called an intangibles tax or an unrealized capital gains tax.
Exactly.
How do those things start to fit into this? And is this, for instance, is this anything that's even being floated by congressional Democrats at any point? I mean, they're not in the majority right now, but
it has. Yeah.
Okay.
So Senator Wyden, who was the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, had a proposal to do just that.
Senator Wyden from Oregon/New York is one of our
indeed.
Talk show hosts here in the midday likes to say.
And you know, his proposal was to essentially, irrespective of whether or not someone sells a stock or you know, transacts and realizes capital gains or losses, just on an ongoing basis, people would be assessed the value of those unrealized gains. So every year there would be a change in valuation that taxpayers that faces tax would be on the hook for. And again, this introduces a lot of the same challenges. It is a form of wealth taxation, and it introduces a number of challenges that a lot of countries and a lot of jurisdictions have already experienced. So you have significant administrative problems, costly to administer, and introduces a lot of unintended side effects and can lead to liquidation. And particularly in a state, people are going to leave.
If they've got an option that works out better for them somewhere that's not too far away, chances are they're going to take that opportunity.
Yeah. So often I think, you know, these taxes are, you know, Washington State, New York, Vermont, some other states have tried this. It honestly looks like this is essentially the satellite offices of the Florida and Texas Chambers of Commerce designing these, because it's only a boon for those states.
Yeah, go lobby in somebody else's state to jack up taxes so they might come to your state instead. And that kind of comes back around to this law of diminishing returns. And here specifically for us in Seattle, I know you're in the D.C. area, but I'm guessing that there are probably examples of this around D.C. or you've seen other examples maybe in some of the liberal blue cities, progressive Democrat cities. Absolutely. On the East Coast seaboard, that they promise stuff and then they can't make that promise come true. And one of the examples here is that City of Seattle has a payroll tax on excessive payroll. You know, basically it's soaking the richest salaries that a company has. And now all of a sudden the City of Seattle saying, oh, wow, we're going to bring in a whole bunch less than we thought because companies have ended up either moving staff or moving people that are in these higher salary brackets. And now their salary isn't calculated for the City of Seattle anymore. So then you get that
people
law of diminishing returns.
I mean, you know, even within the state, people are moving and firms are moving employment out of the City of Seattle and, you know, moving to Bellevue, for example. If I read correctly, that that Seattle tax is bringing in like $50 million less.
Yeah, I think 47 was one of the last numbers I saw. But, yeah, you're right in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
so.
And then the intangibles tax. This is basically taxing on unrealized capital gains and the complete constitutional unfairness of that, taxing something that you haven't even realized yet. And this just kind of comes back to the greed that Democrats want to get their hands on the money. They don't care about much of anything else or how they do it.
No, exactly. And what I think there's also a problem in that the premise for a lot of these taxes is somewhat false, which is this presumption that as you go up the income scale, as you make more money, essentially people are getting a better and better deal with taxation. But fundamentally, the U.S. has a very highly progressive tax code. Which is to say, the more money you make, the higher the rate you pay on your income. The bottom 50% of Americans pay an average tax rate, and this includes all the taxes, of about 7%. But when you go up to the top of the distribution, people are paying almost five times that much. At the highest end of the distribution, people pay twice as much. Their share of the taxes paid is twice as much of the income that they earn. So the U.S., even compared to other countries, has a highly progressive tax. The thing is, we are not as redistributive as, say, a France or something. So our level of tax is much lower. And it's part of why the United States is much stronger economically than some of these European countries.
Yeah, it can be a little bit more resilient. Talking with the executive director of the Pinpoint Policy Institute, Gordon Gray, here on The Morning Ride on Talk Radio 570 KVI. It's been a fascinating conversation. I've enjoyed reading one of your latest essays on all this about how the Democrats promise they want to tax the rich, but it still won't help them bridge all the promises they seem to say that they can achieve if they could just tax the rich a little bit more. So great writing. Keep it up. I'll look forward to reading more of your stuff, and I may be in touch. Would love to have you back on the show in the future as events warrant.
That'd be great. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you very much. That's Gordon Gray, Executive Director of the Pinpoint Policy Institute, here on The Morning Ride.